Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji, I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.
Hey, good evening or afternoon, and welcome to the show that was founded on Kingdom Principles, a show that really is designed and created to move you from where you are to where you want to be. A show that has guests that come on and they tell us, hey, this is how I made it. This is how I got here. And of course, we can't do the show without our girl, Jeannie Kitty City Jones.
Meow.
I love that.
We are in the building, the Dr. Tanji Show. We're going to keep on getting them from where. Look, you need to actually just be on the street. I'm thinking with this whole political season, I think we're going to do a Dr. Tanji campaign.
You know, I love it.
There's a promo.
I love it.
Yeah, here we go. Here we go. Watch it.
There we go.
And I'm so excited about your show today because you have such an influx of questions courtesy of the Dr. Tanji Show VIP skincare celebrity guru, Charlotte Wilson. So she's going to join us. We're going to let you know how to win that prize package and answer your questions that are coming in from all over the country. And you have a guest. This guy not only has something new coming to Netflix, a new book, he's on ESPN, but he also got a new boo. It's new, but not new, but about to make boo a wife. So we'll explain who he is and everything he's got going on and how his principles are working in his life.
I know.
Something's going very well.
When I was reading his bio, I kept thinking, oh my God, he's doing this.
He's doing it.
Okay, now, this is part three of a four-part series, Maximizing Your Potentials. And what I really wanted to kind of hone in on are some of the enemies, those pitfalls that will cause you to... You'll have your potential shining, but it won't be everything that you were created to do while your life assignment is here in the earth. So, three enemies that hinder maximizing your potential. The first one is success. And I know it sounds crazy, right? But when we complete a task and quit because we think we've realized, you know, some kind of success, we've arrived at success, be careful with this. So let's say, for instance, you go to college and you get a degree, a teaching degree, and you're excited because now you're going to teach first grade for the rest of your life. Sounds great, right? You're teaching first graders and it's wonderful, but what if you soon discovered that God really wanted you to be a principal of a school that was going to be designed just for you to really get out what it is or how what it is to be effective in life as a student or what have you. You never will be able to realize what his intents for you were if you get kind of caught up in the marginal success that you have as a first grade teacher. Now, that being said, leave your success and create another one. That's the only way you'll really begin to realize exactly what you were supposed to do. Case in point, be in tune with your creator so you'll know exactly where you're supposed to be. Now, the key, be careful when you're in a successful position that you are judging success by God's standard and not the world's. Because the world's standard for success is totally different. True success is being right with God and completing his assignment and for your life. That will establish your purpose. What you'll find out is that knowing God and obeying him really truly is the hallmark for success. Never allow temporary achievement to cancel eternal fulfillment. I'll say that once again. Never allow temporary achievements to cancel eternal fulfillment. The second enemy of maximizing your potential, traditions. Yeah, right. Now, these are powerful enemies of potential because they include security. Now, you don't grow because your new ideas may interfere with the conventional way of doing things. Here's an example. Let's say you get hired to be an assistant for a company, and some of your responsibilities are checking the mail, sweeping the floors, emptying the trash cans, and so on and so forth. But you fail to realize that this company already has departments and people assigned to do that which you're doing. Your idea for this company is, oh my God, I want to get out in the marketplace and just show the CEO or whoever, you know, my immediate supervisor that I not only have these wonderful ideas, but I know how to deploy myself and go out and get you more customers and more contracts. But that company, unfortunately, will never realize what you have to offer because all you're offering are the traditional ways of doing things. So here are two parts I want you to kind of make a note of and just kind of mull over, if you will. One, be willing to release ineffective traditions for new methods. And then the second part of that particular key, and remember, the key is you're actually doing something. The principle is the context of the information surrounded so that you can make an informed decision and live your life the way you're supposed to be living it. The second part of that particular key is use your imagination. Dream big. Come up with these big ideas. Write them down. Pray about it. And then go to whomever you're supposed to go to and tell them, listen, this is what I want to do for your company. And these are the abilities that I possess to do just that. And the last enemy to potential is comparison. Oh, how have we done this? And I've done it so many times when I'm comparing this child to that child or this person to that person, and I was so wrong. On this, you want to be careful because comparison will cause two things, either discouragement or false pride. Discouragement keeps us from trying new things because we lack the confidence to even do it or to think that we can. And then false pride, and that is something that you kind of really want to be careful of, because what it does is it'll short circuit our potential by giving us the illusion that we have arrived. False pride. So comparing your skills and abilities to another person's skills and abilities, either favorably or unfavorably, will cause you to forfeit the opportunity to become your full potential because you were so busy trying to be equal but different with that particular person that you were comparing yourself with. You want to be careful with doing that. These enemies are just what they are. They are enemies, and we want to be careful.
And you know what? And speaking on that, Dr. Tanji, I'm so glad you bring it up, and that's why I'm such a advocate for the art sports with young people, because it teaches you to embrace who you are and mm-hmm. what you bring to mm-hmm. the table, and that you're special and you're mm-hmm. beautiful. Because with this social media world we live in, you're constantly comparing. You can't help they throw it. You know, you're just bombarded and smothered by images, and you compare how you look, what Absolutely. Size you are, what complexion, are Absolutely. Your teeth white enough? You know, is your skin like J-Lo's? I mean, you know, all of, no. I'm right here with maximizing your potential, and you got to figure out how do I make this skin that I have the best that it can be.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
yes, I do.
So it's just so perfect because the Dr. Tanji Show, just so fancy. It has our own VIP celebrity skin consultant. And, you know, it's such a blessing to have Charlotte Wilson with us every week, because your social media, mine has been bombarded with questions from L.A. to Atlanta to D.C. and every place in between. And so want to welcome Miss Charlotte back to the show. Hey.
Oh, I can't hear anything.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear now?
A lot of static.
Barely. I could. Yes.
Okay.
A lot of static.
Okay. Well, while we try to work on that technical issue, you do know that Charlotte is the visionary founder of GlowSkinEnhancement.com and just rocking skin from celebrities to moms to just the working woman and man and everybody in between, and even preteens going through, whether it's eczema, how to clear your skin, and most importantly, you know, we've been working on the inside to the outside, and you can't help. Mm-hmm. Me and Dr. Tanji talk all the time about you see people on these red carpets, and every day, Gabrielle Union's another one. I mean, just skin popping. Just natural, just glowing like a baby's bottle. I'm like, but guess what? Charlotte Wilson has come to our rescue. Hallelujah. And let me ask you this. I just saw visionary and founder, see her every place. Allie Webb, who was the founder visionary of Dry Bar. And you think, okay, I have this idea or concept, you know, nothing new about going to a salon, nothing new about a hair dryer, but we always talk about what is it that I can do to stand out? What's going to make people come back to me? And she still found a niche. And it was as simple as, I'm not going to a salon to pay $250 when my light bill is due. Still blows for $40 with beautiful yellow blow dryers. Boom. Okay. Successful all over the world. And I look at you, Charlotte Wilson, and your incredible glowskinenhancement.com. Nothing new about skincare. What did you do? How did you find that niche that was needed to create your brand for success?
It's a lot of static. So just the last sentence that you said, I couldn't hear that. Just say the last sentence.
Okay. Question is, how did you decide to create your brand? I mean, skincare is nothing new. What made what you do stand out? How did you know what was missing in the marketplace?
Well, okay, how I know about, from what I can hear, I'm just going to tell you, what made my product different is that my product renew, restore, and enhance the skin. The product that I designed, they address and correct issues. And with that being said, most products kind of do superficial work. Mm-hmm. We go deep underneath and clean the skin to renew it so you can have that baby bottom look and feel no matter who you are.
I love her. She gets it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, Dr. Tanji's show, I mean, the influx has been coming in. And let me just ask you, because I know you got a client waiting to get that baby bottom glow. First that came in at Dr. Tanji's show was Lauren from Washington, D.C., Charlotte. And she wanted to know, how do you determine exactly what your skin type needs? I mean, you know, just like when people go on diets, I mean, everybody's body isn't the same. Everybody's skin definitely isn't the same. Different ethnicities, textures. How do you decide what's best for your skin?
Yeah, you know, we have different skin types. You know, people that have dry skin, sensitive skin, normal combination. All skin, to me, needs the same basic foundation. Treatment, you know, you have to clean the skin, you have to clear everything. But I decide by, you know, I make different strengths to make sure that, you know, the sensitive skin is not affected by the product that I design. But again, it enhances all skin.
Okay. And then also coming in from the ATL at Dr. Tanja's show is Terry, Charlotte Wilson. She wants to know, what daily regimen do you suggest using to cleanse and moisturize? And good question. She follows up with, do you use the same products to clean at night?
Well, no. As far as clean, during the day, you're going to use a cleanser. Maybe a cleansing oil with a water-based toner is what I designed, with a toner, a serum, and a moisturizer. You have to have a sun protector. Some women like primers, which I don't make that right now, but I'm working on it now. But yes, your nighttime is totally different because you have to have a makeup remover. You have to still put some serum oil, night cream, into your pores, you know, as you sleep.
There's my problem right there.
I'm just listening. You just
say, no,
I'm
not, no,
this is real. Different.
Wow. That's what I'm telling you. No, it been you saying the same thing day, night, look, ouch, just getting all jacked up. Oh my God, this is why we need you. We need glowskinenhancement.com. And last was Charles in Los Angeles came in on Dr. Tanji's Facebook page. For the fellas, how do I make my skin pores smaller and tighter? He did say his DM was so cute. He said it looked like he had rabbit holes on his face. but that's a good question.
Well, first of all, people that look at their pores, they have to put that magnifying glass away, because most women look at their pores with a magnifying glass, which that's not a normal sight. But what you do, you definitely have to keep your skin clean. I make a treatment that's almost like a small peel that takes the top layer of skin off. Keep in mind that the top layer of your skin shows everything. Underneath is always the new skin that you can work with to keep it revealed to, you know, to the public.
Wow. There's layers to this thing. So this is a learning journey in and of itself.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah,
go ahead.
I apologize. I can't hear anything. I have an echo with my voice, so I'm trying to do the best that I can.
You know what? You're doing a great job. And you know what? Charlotte, this was perfect. It was so much information today. And so we can't wait to see you in the studio next week. And make sure, for everything that you need for your skin, go to glowskinenhancement.com. And Charlotte Wilson is our celebrity skincare guru. She will help you, and we will all be glowing, okay? We're all going to be glowing. We will not have rabbit holes on our face, and we will be on the red carpets. I don't care if we're at Target. Be like, hey, J-Lo, hey, Gab Union, look at us. We glowing. We got that glow up courtesy of Charlotte Wilson. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'll definitely be there every Wednesday from here on out, you know, as much as you all need me.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you. Thank you.
I done found out what my problem was today. Look, no, it messed me up today. I thought I was cute. On my way to rabbit hole.
But
it's about to be on. Oh, we're about
this.
To be on.
To have her, seriously, with this show, it's just major.
No, because we don't know. I mean, like I said, you buying all these products for years.
That's
and I want to get to the point to where we know exactly what works for our skin, for your particular skin, whether you're listening or watching. And even to get, you know, our preteens and our teens, our young ladies, understanding how to take care of their skin. I mean, people, you know, we do so much damage. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, again, we're taking care of the spirit.
Absolutely.
You know, have we taken care of your entire self at the Dr. Tanja show?
That's
what we do. Body and soul. Body and soul.
Absolutely. Wow. I've said it once, I'll say it again. When you have someone that can see the vision and that will expound upon your vision and make it so plain that truly someone comes behind it and can read that vision, you better hang on to them. And that's exactly what Jeannie Kitty of the City does here. And of course, in his absence, our KJ intern. And it's really good to be on the road to where you want to be. How about that? Please remember to join us every Wednesday at 2 p.m. on here, LA Talk Radio, as well as Talk to Tanji on Mondays. You know, it's a quick little interactive 5 or 10 minute meeting, but we've got some things that are coming that have us a little bit more interactive where we can literally answer those questions and get you. And I've said it 15,000 times, get you where you from where you are to where you want to be. And I'm discovering that these principles, oh my God, they work. They really do. It may appear, you know, from time to time that, oh my God, you know, this is just not working. These principles are tried. They're true. They've been tested and they've been in existence for over 2,000 years. So anything that's been that long is truly something that does work. So with that said, I love, love, love taking your direct messaging and your text messages. And thank you. You are really why. One of the reasons why I show up, of course, I have to show up for me, and this is an assignment, but to know that you're there and you're listening and you're doing accordingly, not what I say, but what's written, that in and of itself is the reason why I do what I do. And I am grateful to have you come along and we grow together. Now, the last little part of the comparing, that particular principle, is that I want you to maximize your life. I want you to understand that you are unique, you're original, and you are irreplaceable. You are. When God created you, He created you for purpose. And His purpose, it is His purpose that truly will be established. You are pretty well familiar, some of us are familiar with a passage that says, many are the plans, and we've got so many plans that we want to do, but it's His purpose. It is truly His purpose where you'll find your life, your life's work, your mission, your vision in His purpose. And for me, I'm committed. No matter how many times that I find myself falling, you got to get up, dust yourself off, look at yourself in the mirror and just say, you know what? I got this. And mean it. There are days when I say this through tears, but I got this. And so do you. You got this, no matter what. You hear people say that, you know, when I get to a certain point in my life, or when I get to a certain plateau of money or status, then I'll start living. But I would employ you to start living now. All right? Okay, you owe that to yourself. Absolutely. All right, Miss Jeannie. Mm-hmm. Kitty of City Jones.
Meow. And when I tell you, when you got to bring, you know, the rocket ships in that are like doing things, that's what we mean here. And I'm just so excited to have Mike Hill here with us. I mean, when I tell you, you know, the theme of what we're talking about today is maximizing your potential. So yeah. I couldn't think of anybody else right now with your stuff popping.
Maxed out.
You know, but that's how we want to be. So before we peel back your layers about your evolution, and we will get through, and it was so cute your intro was, I said he's doing everything. New book, new Netflix, new boo. Bobby B. Wifey. I mean, I said Mike Hill is the epitome right now. You open it up, maximize your potential, and you see Mike Hill like, hey,
yeah.
You know, so congratulations,
thank
first
you,
of
thank
all.
You, thank I mean, you. Thank you. Blessings,
because
blessings.
In our business, I mean, doing multimedia, this is our Disney World. This is what we dream of.
This is what you strive to do, because absolutely. I feel like it's in us. You know, God gave me this potential. God gave me this platform. God gave me these opportunities, and He gave me the growth and the desire to do what I'm doing. And when I got into it, I could have just been happy being a broadcaster and living a good life and earning some good money. But my whole goal in life was to be like the male Oprah. Oprah could have been satisfied being a talk show host on a nationally syndicated show. But she said, you know what? Mm-hmm. I want to have my own production company. I want to start my own production company. I want to have a book. I want to start doing magazines. I want to have my own filmmaking process. I want to own my own network. I want to do it all. And I want to bring other people in so that I can endorse the Dr. Oz's of the world, the Dr. Phil's of the world, the Iyanas, all these different people. So if you got that potential, you got it in you, and God gives you the strength, go for it. Do it.
Amen. Giving birth. I know. Can you imagine me being around him every day? No, she's looking like it. Look, I don't know if Cynthia had that. That is my girl. I cannot wait for her. She's coming to L.A. Yes. So she comes back in the country. So, So let's begin with ESPN and how the evolution, and then we'll go through the chapters of all of these amazing platforms you're giving birth to. So talk about how you got into sports broadcasting.
Well, I started off, I was in the military for 6 years in the United States Air Force. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I needed that. I'm telling you.
I didn't know that, but see, that's important.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I needed to go through the military. It was it was a process for me because you'll know more about my background, Open Mic or whatever. It's my book. But I wasn't necessarily ready for college at the time. Mm-hmm. So I didn't enlist in the Air Force and go in and get that discipline and serve my country and get out. And I was a better man for it. Then the day I got out of the military was the day I got my first job in broadcasting. And that was about 25 years ago in February. It'll be 25 years, and just continuing to grow and continuing to know that was something inside of me. I always knew that once I was in high school and I realized I wasn't going to play sports.
That was it.
I was like, I saw my jump shot.
That was that aha moment.
I played football. Like, that's not going to be my profession. How can I stay in sports and still do it another kind of way? Because playing physically ain't going to happen. Yeah. So I was always a pretty good writer and like being descriptive. And like talking about sports, so it was a passion of mine. So I said, this is what I want to get into. And I got into it through the Air Force military while I was going to school or whatever. And like I said, the day I got discharged, 2 hours after I got discharged, is the day I got my first job in broadcast. And that's God. That's all God. And like I said, it's been 25 years later. And then just kind of growing up and going up the ups and downs. And then finally in 2004, I got my opportunity to go to ESPN. Mm-hmm. And then spent 9 years there. In the last 6 years, I've been at Fox and Fox Sports One doing that now. Trying to expand outside of the world of sports, doing some other projects. Got some news for you guys today. I'm starting a new streaming platform on Fox.
And you still streaming, and you still giving birth.
Yep, still giving birth.
What happened?
Still giving birth. Another project that's coming
another
out. It's called Fox Soul that is about to come out. We did a test run back in April. It was calling it Fox Noir at the time, but it's a streaming platform.
Oh, that was you.
That was me.
Oh, but well, why was I in the DM? I was after you, and I was the one that got quiet. Look at God.
Yes.
I was like, okay, why can't I? What's going on?
Are you serious?
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. No, I know about Fox One. They did some beautiful testing with some people I know here in LA, and they were like, Jay, this would be perfect. But then it got quiet, and I was like, let me, see where they're going to go.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Well, and it's going to expand. So, we'll be doing some work. I'm pretty sure, everybody meets for a reason. I think God sets people up and you meet people in your life for a reason and you cross paths and you continue to cross paths and you zigzags. Absolutely. That's why you always got to be really cool and really nice to the people that you're with. So we're starting that sometime in October and I'm looking forward to that because it kind of gets me out of the realm of sports. Opens up another platform. Absolutely. You're talking about giving birth. Right. I just feel like, there's so much that's going on in society these days with everything that's happening with our leadership or whatnot and in our community that, that I have a voice and I want to use my voice to help this world become a better place.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And that's all, folks.
We can fade to black. Have a great day. Yes. Tune in to Fox because One. Pick up, Open Mic.
Yes. I love it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You, when I was reading your bio, I kid you not, I'm reading this and I'm saying, oh, dear God. Thank you, Daddy. I call him Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. I thank you for your stamina and your fortitude and not giving up.
Yes.
We will never know what it took to seriously get here mentally.
Ooh.
We see you physically. Ooh. You know what I mean?
Physically, it was a toll, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a toll, too.
Oftentimes, we look at a person's glory and we get excited, but we forget that there's a story
there's
in that glory.
Yes.
Would you care to expound upon what Wesley got you to say, you know what, no matter what?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was, first of all, always give honor and glory to God. I am
absolutely
by far not perfect. God is still working on me, believe that. But I'm trying to be that. 1 Corinthians 13 chapter is When I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And I had to go through that process, both in my profession and in my personal life. Like I said, writing in my book, Open Mic, you'll see a lot of the ups and downs I had personally and in my professional life. Okay. In my professional life, I've been fired twice. I mean, I've been doing this for 24, 25 years. And in the beginning, it used to be something that wouldn't be embarrassing to me.
Right.
But now it's like something I had to go through in life to, in order to grow. Sometimes you got to chop down the weeds. You got to pull up the flowers in order to toil the soil again. Amen. In order to replant the seeds to get that harvest.
Absolutely.
And God takes some things away from you sometimes in order for you to get certain things out of your life so that you can continue to grow. Because if you got weeds around all these flowers, those flowers aren't going to get their full potential. So when you pull those weeds up, you got to pull some of the flowers up sometimes and then rewater it, retoil it, and then all of a sudden you grow. And that's where I am right now. So I had to go through a lot of different difficulties personally and in my professional life, ups and downs, like I said, being fired twice in order to get to where I am. But those two times that I got let go from my job were the two best things that ever happened in my life. And I thank God for it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow.
That's incredible. And I can tell, too, what you would think. I mean, a lot of people will turn their nose, have different emotions because of our leadership and different experiences. Right. The military, I can tell that discipline and that mindset was also that foundation. It helped you when all hell was breaking loose.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, here's the thing. I this is something that was a learned process. Mm-hmm. I went through a lot, and I was frustrated, and I used to get irritated. I used to be, you know, like a lot of us in our business, when you see somebody else getting something that you feel like you deserve, you feel like it's yours, and then you have to realize, you know what?
Yep.
After a while, it's like, that wasn't for me. That wasn't. That was for that person.
Absolutely.
You know, what is for me will be for me. What God has in store for me is going to be great. So I'll just wait on that type of stuff. But the military aspect of it, you know, the discipline as far as like being on time, being a good teammate, trying to get along with others and working as a tandem or whatever, working as a team, that is the type of discipline I have from the military. But as far as everything else is concerned, it's just like growth and evolution and just being a part of the whole process and becoming the person I am now.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Wild factor, right?
I'm so looking forward to reading Open Mic.
Oh, I really am.
But you are the epitome, and I tell you, seriously, you're the epitome of everything good.
Oh, thank you.
And now, listen to what I say. I say, because perfection, that word means maturity.
Yeah.
The world's definition for perfection means without flaw.
Yeah.
But he wants us to be mature in everything we say and everything we do.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what you're doing. You said yes.
Yes.
That's why you're allowed to get impregnated with these ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact that your gifts are really making room and bringing you before great people.
Yeah.
So shine.
Yeah. I got it. You know, you want to shine. You want to be around people that allows you to shine,
absolutely,
too. And you want to bring other people up so that they can shine too. You can't be selfish. You know, so many people made sacrifices for me, and now that I'm going to use my platform, once I get on, I'm going to make sure that I open up doors for them as well.
Wow.
I think it's like, you know, we are here for a reason to continue to help one another.
Absolutely.
You know, somebody put me on their shoulders. Now it's time for me to put somebody on my shoulders, and then so on. I'm going to continue to climb as we continue to expand. And now that I have my fiance, who's doing wonderful
Cynthia
things.
Cynthia, meow.
Yes, she's doing great things.
She would be, you know, housewife ATL.
Yes.
I love Cynthia.
Yeah,
I love Cynthia.
So, and she's a boss. You know, she's a lady.
Always,
you know, and she inspires me. And once again, she's like my muse now.
Oh, come
you know?
On.
Yeah, she is.
How
she
that?
I mean, I wake up in the morning, I'm just like, I see how much she works and how much she hustles and how she does it in a classy way and doesn't try and hurt people. You know,
absolutely,
that's the main
absolutely
thing about it, and that's when that's why she's so blessed,
and that's why I think Cynthia has continued to evolve. I noticed in whether we were watching her on television or even when I would see a clip or a situation that was, you know, had a little bit of shade to it, she always put that shine and that positive spin on it every time. I was like, for real, Cyn, even if they gonna do that to you, she was like, you know, even so,
love and light. That's what she
did. You know, when you first saw Cynthia, something was there?
Nah, not really. I mean, I ain't gonna lie. I mean, I didn't know there was something there. I think it was, I was obviously attracted to her, and from a physical standpoint. But we know we met on Steve Harvey on the dating show.
That's why I forgot Uncle Steve hooked y'all up on the segment. So, all right, Steve
really?
Harvey.
Yeah.
So it was like when we went there, somebody asked me to do it. I was like, I was out here, you know, having fun as a single guy in LA or whatever. And one of my friends said, hey, what you think about going on a dating show? I'm like, I want to do a date show, bro. It's like, come on, bro. That's so corny. And then they said, no, it's going to be with one of the Real Housewives. I'm like, which one?
Right, like, okay, look like we're waiting. Life is doing okay.
Like, wait, hold set on. Up. Which one? Now, it's certain ones. I'm like, no, I'm going to run away from that. I don't even want to watch that segment. You know, I'm not going to say which ones, but certain ones at that time, I was like, I'm not going to have to watch. Then they say, no, Cynthia Bailey. I'm like, oh, wow, that's crazy. Like, yeah, she's classy. She's beautiful. Absolutely. I'm like, first of all, Cynthia Bailey doesn't need help finding a date or finding a man or whatever, but I'll go on there. It's just cool. Just good to meet her or whatever. So I went on there not expecting anything, and we met. She obviously chose me or whatever, and it was a slow burn. So it wasn't like love at first sight.
I like it.
I was dating other people. She was dating somebody at the time too or whatever, and so we just kind of had to go through our process.
Right.
And once we went through our process, and probably about 2 or 3 months later, we stayed consistent.
Yeah.
And she asked me to FaceTime her one time when she was in Mexico with her daughter. And ever since that day, we've been FaceTiming every single day ever since. And we talk 4 or 5 times a day.
I love it.
Nonstop. First time, I've been married twice. First time in my life I've ever been in love. I know that's hard for people to believe.
Wow. When you said that, I was definitely getting ready to pick on that when I saw that he made that statement.
Yeah, first time. Yeah, first time I've ever been in love, because you'll read in the book the reason why I couldn't open up. There was a lot of things, some trauma that was happening in my life that I didn't even realize until I wrote that book that I was able to open up. And it kind of saved my life, to be honest with you, writing that book, because it was my therapy that I needed, that I didn't realize I needed. And I think this is one of the reasons I want to promote it so much, because in our community, we have a stigma about getting help, you know, talking to somebody, some professional, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we need to get past that, because we got things that's holding us back. And one of the things that was holding me back was some of the things that I went through early on in my childhood. And I wasn't allowing myself to open up and love somebody. And when I was writing this book, I just happened to be dating her at that same time, telling her some things. And it just worked out that way. So the time was perfect.
Amen. Yeah. Everything he does.
And I'm so proud that Open Mic is really going to be such a, to me, a staple in a Bible, because our men don't have the opportunity and aren't told it's okay. So that's why I'm championing this particular project, because I mean, you're needed just for that alone, that book.
Absolutely.
And so that's.
Well, I'm glad you say that, because in the book, I'm open. And the reason I'm calling it Open Mic is because I'm being very clear. I'm being very open. I'm being very transparent. I'm not holding anything back. Everything that's happened in my life, good, bad, and different, the things I've done to people, to my ex-wives, I'm saying and putting it out there.
Wow.
I am. I'm putting it out there.
So it's you and Demi Moore going on. No.
Absolutely.
I'm getting ready.
Oh, dear God.
You're getting ready to make me cry. She done made me cry. GMA. This is, I mean, you putting it.
I'm putting it all out there.
I mean, I knew it was out there, but you're putting it all out there.
I'm putting it all out there. All the mistakes I made in my marriages, the things, the hurt, the women I've hurt in the past.
What made you say right now was okay, though?
Because I needed to get it off my chest. Because I've apologized to them. I apologized to them in the past, but I'm like, you know what? And then I think there's a reason I started writing this book in 2014, 5 years ago. And I did it because people said I had an interesting story, because my mom, things she went through, my father, especially when they found out about my stepfather being a hitman and then spending the last 9 years of his life in prison, murder for hire, having his wife killed and all that stuff. So they think that's all interesting, the things, the ups and downs, turmoil I went through at ESPN and other places or whatever. But one of the reasons I want to write is because I just had some things on my chest that I needed to get off that I didn't realize. So in 2014, I started writing it, and I put it down. It wasn't the right time. 2017 came. God said, you have to write this book or you're going to die. God honest truth. He said, you got to write this book or you're going to die. Because I was on the outside. I was living this facade. I was happy, and people saw me in this glow. Oh, he's such a guy, nice guy, blah, blah, blah. He's such a great father. Yeah. They don't know all the things that I put women through, all the things that I put my daughters through or whatever to become this person. And I didn't want to live this lie. I didn't want to live that lie and show people that I was always this guy and I was just perfect guy. I've been flawed. Like I said, first screen, I was a child. I was understanding, thinking, and speaking as a child. I had to become a man. And so what I want to do is encourage people not only to get help, but you know what? You think it's cool to do certain things. It's not necessarily cool. That doesn't make you a man. And I'm not looking at all that stuff and saying, you know, blaming anybody because my stepfather, my biological father, nobody was there for me to show me the proper way or whatnot. But at the same time, I think it's we need to, as black men or just men, period, in this country, just admit that we have mistakes, that we have flaws, and that cheating on women. You know, I never abused a woman, thank God, but I've seen women get abused or whatever, and seeing all this other stuff that's going on that you think makes you a man, that doesn't make you a man. So you got to grow up, and we need to grow up in this society and in this country.
Yeah. Wow. That, now yeah. I got to call Cynthia to see if I can get you on a whole nother tour.
What? What?
just that alone is an incredible level absolutely. That needs absolutely. To be heard
yes,
consistently.
It does.
Yes.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's wow. amazing, and you just started the waterworks.
I'm so sorry.
No, no problem.
The evolution of military, sport, family, and then I love that you're doing this new series on Netflix. This is a platform we're not normally in, so I salute you
Thank you again for making
that move. I mean,
hyperdrive.
Yeah. How did this project come about?
That came about, you know, having relationships with people. I was up for a show called BattleBots about 4 years ago. And so I met the producers then. I didn't get the gig then, but stayed in touch. It was really nice. And even though that's what I was talking about, sometimes when you don't get something, you have to look at that as a blessing and say, you know what? Hey, it wasn't for me at that time. But still be gracious, be thoughtful, be respectful. Kept in touch with them saying, hey, it was a pleasure meeting you. Even though it didn't work on this project.
Right.
I know we're going to work together one day. So I just kept in touch, stayed in touch with them. And then all of a sudden, they developed this show called Hyperdrive, which is like a mix between the Fast and the Furious and American Ninja Warrior.
Oh, that's hot.
One of the
craziest
projects.
Oh, my God.
Just because.
Yeah.
Just because.
It's one of the craziest concepts I ever thought of in my life and then or ever heard in my life. Mm-hmm. And when they presented it to me, it's like, Mike, you kept in contact. You're just a nice guy.
We were going to work together.
And you've just been a really cool, down-to-earth guy. And I was like, thank you. And they brought me in, did the audition, got the job. And when I tell you ladies that in my 24, 25 years of broadcast, and this is the most fun and the most excitement that I've ever had doing a project in my life professionally, I'm not lying to you.
So and that's what it's all about. Because as soon as I saw the project breakdown, that's all I want to do is just put on a helmet and a microphone and come meet you.
You know, come
that
do
was it.
It.
You
come
know what I'm saying? I will lose my mind.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
I'm not, and for me, it was like a double thing. I wanted to meet you because, like I said, I just love what you and Cynthia are doing.
Mm-hmm.
It just as a great love doc.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? First and foremost, because we don't see enough of us and that. So that was one thing. But then I was like, in between sports, you would think I owned an NFL team.
Yeah.
Awesome.
No,
yeah,
I'm one of those types that get on the table. I get so emotional. Yeah. It's so ridiculous.
Are you a Skins fan?
Yes.
From Washington.
I'm a Players fan.
Okay, all right.
So I've always, you know, when they were saying whatever about Tom Brady, I would freak out like, whatever, he's still going to come back. When Sweetie Pie that retired.
Which one, just now?
Eli's brother.
Oh, Peyton.
Peyton is my type of guy. I mean, I'm a mental player.
A cerebral. I mean,
exactly.
Yes,
so,
yes.
I mean, when I love people, when you decide, I'm going to do this by any means necessary.
Yes.
You my player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what's in you. And
just
in sports, I think sports is always a microcosm of life. You know, you can take a lot from these sports people, whatever, not just their athletic ability, but like you said, I like the cerebral. I like the people who think and also the ones that not just do it on the field and make a difference and become fans on the field, but how am I using this platform to better society? How am I using this platform to better my brand, to make it? Every time I talk to an athlete, you know, young, when they come into the league, I tell them, A, save your money. B, okay, now that you're a superstar, you're making a name for yourself, guess what? Look in the stands, you know, especially if you're a basketball player. Look on the front row. You got Fortune 500 CEOs who are fans of yours.
Right.
What do you want to do after basketball? What do you want to do after football and baseball?
Right.
They are fans of yours. Mm-hmm. They would love to spend some time with you. Talk to them. Grab them and say, hey, can I come by your office?
Yeah.
And they would love to teach you everything you know so that you can have a platform and a brand and life after basketball. So not only are you a millionaire on the court, that's nothing. You can own stuff when you're 30, 40 years old, 50 years old and build a dynasty. And that's what we need to start doing. Instead
Thank
of like
you.
When we started this conversation, you said I'm doing all these different things. I want to do more because I don't want to just settle for this because it's great. I thank God for it.
Yeah.
But why can't we just be Oprah? Why can't we do what Oprah did? Oprah could have settled, but she didn't.
Absolutely.
The Washington Post called me Oprah and Trainer, so I'm right here.
I'm hoping
if you're watching, listening, you are digesting everything Maya Hill is saying, because it is so critical, and especially in this turbulent climate that we're in, and we have to be careful with, like I said, our culture, our athletes, who we are. We have always been a dynasty. How we protect it and how we nurture and work it has not been so well. And everything you are saying, Mike, is so critical. I think about, I do pray for Antonio Brown and everything he's going through, as dynamic as he is. I mean, who's around him knowing that? I mean, these teams in the midst of litigation, Patriots, like, we can go back Super Bowl is still the goal.
You know what I'm saying?
But think about what you're doing and how you're doing it, and just the endorsements to me have become the wave, the business of what we do.
That's right.
It's one thing to have a contract to broadcast, but our endorsements and our appearances have really become it's the next
brand.
Thing.
Your deal.
It's the brand to win.
Absolutely.
So open mic, gotta get that book. Gotta get that book.
Yes, thank you.
I love what you said. I love linguistics. I do. Words are just so powerful, you know, because the world was formed with words. You said, I spoke it, but then you acted on it. You stayed in contact with them. You didn't get that, but you spoke it. Oh, we will be working together.
Yeah, we'll be working together.
We will.
I believe that.
And you did it.
Yeah, I did it. I mean, and that's and that was key, and it developing these relationships, and that's another thing that I always tell, I give advice to kids when they ask me how to get in this business. I'm like, okay, well, first of all, get an internship. That's the main thing, because our job, as you know, you got to get behind these microphones and get in front of these cameras and get that experience, first and foremost. But secondly, you have got to go out there and network, meet as many people, everybody that you can possibly can. Talk to them, glad hand them, play that game. It's important to play that game out there. It's another stigma that we get into is sometimes black people, oh, I ain't going to kiss nobody, blah, blah, blah.
I hear it all the time.
All right, you ain't got to kiss. You ain't got it in the crack, but you better kiss that hip. you better kiss that hip a little bit. Because people that are in charge are who are powerful people. A lot of them have egos and they want to be praised. And you don't have to be fake with it. It's a way to talk when I say play the game. You know, just be professional about it. It's like, you know, don't be shy about that, but meet these people. That's what I was telling you about the athletes or whatever.
Absolutely.
But speaking that stuff in existence and staying in contact with them, like I did with the people from Whale Rock when I got the job for Hyperdrive. Same thing with Fox Soul. I met a guy named Stephen Brown over at Fox. He was a guy who's in charge of talent, one of the guys that's the vice president of development at Fox. And it was a general meeting. Just sat down and I said, look, you know, I kept in touch with him. I said, I'm going to bug you. Every 6 months, I'm going to tell you everything I'm doing. And he said, okay. And I said, hey, every time I start, hey, I know I'm bugging you. Here's the bug, blah, 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 blah. He said, you're not bugging me. 3 or 4 years, I did that. And then finally, back in March, he said, you know what, Mike? I'm glad you hit me. It might not be something that you'll do, because he looked at me as a sports guy or whatever. He said, but I wonder if you'll come in for this project. And I came in. It was Fox Noir. It was Fox Noir. And he brought me in, and we did the test run. And now we got a streaming show. We got a streaming channel from Fox that's about to jump off. And I'm one of the hosts.
That's going to be massive. That's going to be so massive.
Yeah.
And then I'm close with Areva Martin. And then that's where that loop initially came through. And I'm just excited. So if you had to tell anybody listening, watching, with your multimedia brand that is and evolving to higher heights with everything that's going on, what do you have to say in closing that you should focus on?
Just focus on you. First of all, know who you are. Understand your brand. Know your potential. Know your limitations or whatever. Know when you need help and you need to ask for help. And don't be afraid to ask for help, because I'm almost 50 years old, and yes, I've been doing this for 24, 25 years, but I don't know everything. I don't know how to do everything, but I'm willing to learn how to do it. I want to continue to grow. I told you, and do everything. Be diverse. One of the things that's kept me around in broadcast business is that when I was at ESPN, I could do every show in the building, and I did every show in the building.
That's exactly what we got to think. I was the same way. I had to know how sales work, promotions. How does this affect? And that's how they're like, Jeannie, how do you know how to do a little bit of everything? I made sure I knew what the job was. So when I went into a sales meeting, I could articulate all these things. They like, It was almost, it became undeniable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You might not, you may know how to do a job better than me, but you ain't going to do more than me. You're not going to learn how to do more than me. Seriously.
Don't I work it?
I'm going to work every single show I want to do. And I call myself a show ho. Yeah.
I like that.
I'm a show ho.
Oh, can we hashtag you can show ho? That's who we are.
Yeah.
We are show ho.
Show ho.
Show ho.
The TV booty is giving up. I'm telling you, I'll do it.
Yes.
That's just
the
me.
The multimedia host.
Yes, that's it. I just want to do more and continue to do more. And Cynthia and I actually have a show in development that we're doing. So we're doing stuff together. Like I said, it's not good enough for me because I know God has this potential that's inside of me, something that is left unfulfilled. But I got to continue to do more.
Oh, my God.
Okay. All I can say is just follow my hell. I mean, open mic. I don't know if to tell you. Hyperdrive, if you see somebody up on type of building with a helmet trying to jump down on Mike and Cynthia, know it's Jeannie. Jeannie Jones. Yeah, it was me. I said it. Mm-hmm. So. Congrats.
Thank
and I'll
so
be
much,
part
appreciate
of that whole promo much. Team for open mic. I mean, and I love the play on that too, because one thing you think about an open mic, the first thing, I mean, that's a place where we feel comfortable. Whatever your talent is, that's where you release. And it's okay. And that's exactly what you're doing in your book.
You got to be
you're
careful.
You're finally comfortable. You do.
But I'm letting it go. And wait till you hear about the book cover too.
Oh, really?
I'm going to tease you on the book cover. It's a real tease.
You're not doing an ESPN like nude display.
I'm exposing myself. I'm just letting you know. And Cynthia's going to be the artistic director.
Meow. Cynthia, that's we show hoes. I get it. See how I know?
Open mic.
We can pre-order that now.
We're going to start pre-ordering, I believe, in November.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
perfect for the holidays. How many stocking stuffers do you need? Open mic.
Yes, get it out there, ladies. I appreciate that.
Perfect.
You are such a blessing.
Thank you
so very much. Thank you for living life the way God intended,
absolutely.
The original intent. Mm-hmm. Thank you for every tear that you cried. Thank you so very much for every prayer that you prayed. Thank you for standing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Hey,
thank
Cynthia.
You. All right.
Meow. Girl. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you next time.
All right.
Bye.
You're listening to The Dr. Tunji Show with Dr. Tunji Scott, only on LA Talk Radio.